Welcome to Identity Church Sunday morning message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Hey, are you guys ready to receive the word today? How many in the last year have had some battles in your finances? I didn't say that you didn't have finances. I said, but battles in your finances. Because let me tell you something. Anytime God starts releasing a promise, which I believe that he's released a promise a few years ago, that the church was going to have influence that it had not had. And money is a thing of influence. Right, now, I need to share my heart before I preach on money. ten years ago, I was in New York. It was a little small church. The Holy Spirit wakes me up and he says, "Hey, I want you to preach on money today." I'm like, "I ain't preaching on money. People hate preaching on money." And the Lord says, "You have an anointing for money. I want you to preach on money, and I want you to lay hands on all of their wallets and all of their purses and declare that my favor would come upon their area or their finances." So I did. And I did the whole nine yards, and I laid hands on their wallets. I laid hands on their, you know, being the great prophet of God that I am. You know, at that time we were in business, and Susie and I had left, and I had given instructions to one of my managers to go by and pick up a check from a builder, take that check, deposit it, so I didn't bounce checks. And he didn't get the check in time. And here I'm preaching and prophesying and declaring money to come into people's wallets, and I get home and I bounced a check. I was hot. Yeah. I was mad. I was ticked off. I was mad at God. I'm like, here, I'm preaching on money, and you have me praying over people's wallets and praying over, and then I bounce a check. I'm like, I don't like working for you anymore. No, I was mad. 10 months later, I get a phone call from the pastor. "Hey, we just had a board meeting a couple nights ago, and I just want to tell you that our treasury did a graft and did a couple-year trace of our money in the church, and all of a sudden it went up 3 to 4 times what it was. We haven't had that many more people, and we realized that was the day you prayed over everybody's wallet, and we have increased and stayed there. Thank you so much, you anointed man of God." And I'm like, "Thank you." Now I was like, dang. I'm like, "God, that's not fair." I said, "They wind up prospering. I bounce a check." And here's what he said. He said, "I can't help it. You're too stupid to walk under your own anointing." Okay. And so, you know, this is my third week of preaching on finances. And let me tell you something. I'm preaching to myself first because I'm trying to get the dream I had last week about this church, a church in New York that God said, pay the pastors, pay all their debt, pay the church's debt, and then tell the prophet of the house to get me that information so I could write the checks. And the Lord comes up and says, "Are you going to be an unjust servant?" And I thought he was saying because I wasn't paying the prophet's debt off. He says, "No, you're not giving them the DNA, the revelation of finances. You're just paying off their debt. That would make you an unjust servant." And so I'm telling you, Susie and I are starting to walk in prosperity. That's a different dimension than we walked in for years. How do you remember when me and Susie were doing nothing but ministry and we were living on about $25,000 a year with an $1,800 house payment? Remember that? Yeah. If it hadn't been for Luke Stott killing deer all over the world and giving me deer meat, we would only eat vegetables. Seriously, I went to my cousin's garden that he gave all the we would, but I watched God's faithfulness. Okay, and so then God comes in and the finances come in and I pay my house off and I'm debt free. And God says, oh, you're really proud of yourself. Yes, I am. He says, just remember, debt free is neutral. That's a starting point. That's not prosperity. Like, dang, man, why don't you just shoot me? You know, you finally get where your goal, but your goal is still neutral. That's not prosperity. So this morning, last night, this morning, I'm going, God, I'm backed. I don't want to preach on money because people don't want to hear it. You know what? You probably need to hear it. Because if you're going to walk with God, if you want, how many want heaven to invade your finances? We better figure out what heaven says about your finances. And so here's, I'm going to soften the blow here. I do believe you should be a tither. I do believe you should give offerings. But let me tell you something. We do live under grace. But there is a demand on God that if you only make it about money, then you're making him your cash machine. And that's not God. And so I said, well, God, how do I do this? He says, how many wants to tithe? You believe the principles? Yes. And there's some people who can't afford to because it wasn't in their DNA. It wasn't in their, I mean, Susie and I were at somewhere last night and that whole conversation came up. We were born and raised in tithing. Susie tithed on her babysitting money. I tithed on mowing my yards and we were taught that. Now, then we rebelled against it for a while. That didn't work out well for us. You know, it's just stupid to know something and don't do it. But it isn't, that wasn't a new thing for us. And so I'm saying, okay, God, I'm going to go talk about money and I'm going to poke the bear. I'm going to poke the bear because everybody thinks the preacher just wants your money. Now, I'd really like you to get saved because your money will come with it. Dang. Here's what he said to me. Early this morning, he said to me, it's in their heart to tithe. It's in the heart of a true believer to tithe, to fulfill the requirement that the Lord puts on you. But sometimes you just can't. Okay? I'm not going to quote you Malachi where it says, will a man rob God? How many have ever heard Malachi 3? But you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Let me tell you that whole thing. Go look at the context of that scripture, and it's the prophet who is telling leadership, will a man rob God? He says, no, but he's pointing to the priesthood. No, but you have. And when leadership mismanaged the money, people don't want to give anymore. Go look at that scripture. It's not, will a man rob, will Gary Walton rob God? No, but you have. The prophet's talking to the leadership. That just went bad. That's great. And when leadership doesn't do what they're supposed to with the money, you don't want to give.
Good word. That's good.
We had some people at our house Friday night for dinner, and the statement came up. She says, you know, she's been around long. She remembers the nonprofit prophet. She remembers that guy. And she sees that. She goes, I know you could write a check for that stage. I said, I am. I could, but I won't. I could, but I won't. Because I'm a good steward, and I won't rob you of what you're supposed to have. Well, we're $500 short for the carpet. Fix that. And I could write that check, but I won't. So as God speaks to you, give. Now, here's what he said to me. He says, you're going to start having new believers come in. And when you start teaching people how to walk with God, money is really very strategic on how you handle your money, on how well you know God. He says, convert your tithe into time. If you make $500 a week, your tithe should be $50. If you make $10 an hour, that's 5 hours. Are you at least spending 5 hours alone with God that week? Tell them you don't want their money. If you're not a tither, I don't want your money. But I want you to tithe that amount of time to reading your Bible and knowing who God is that week. tithe your time and know God and watch what he teaches you and trains you with wisdom on how to handle your finances. Now, some of you are already doing it, but you haven't even been a steward of your time to know that you're fulfilling that requirement. Just the revelation that you're spending 5 hours a week, if you're at $500, with God, I'm telling you, something will happen because you will come into that engagement with God with an expectation to get something. A revelation. The greatest thing about revelation is revelation happens on the inside, and that's where change really changes. You're always trying to get some prophet to lay hands on you to change you. Great. Read the Word of God. Let revelation in the Holy Ghost bring an illumination of the Word, and you'll get changed.
Amen.
You don't need nobody to lay hands on you. He lays hands on you. So what I'm telling you, I want this to be a tithing church with a time with God. Finances will take care of itself. Okay? So how many tithers do we have in the house? If you have not documented your time with God, do that with your money. Do that with, hey, listen, some of you need to do it on what you need in money and just spend that time with God and watch what God does. Because listen, when you spend time with God and you walk out of the closet, the prayer closet with God, favor's on you and favor will find you. And one day of favor is greater than 1,000 days of labor. And favor isn't fair. How does that guy always get? He always wants. Yep, favor isn't fair. Because favor comes from God. All right, now you ready to preach? That was the. Hi.
Stay over the wall. No.
I'll pray over your wallets. Listen, I'm telling you, I come here, Susie. You probably need Susie to pray over your wallets. But do you want her to pray? Come on, we'll pray over your wallets. Let's start this thing off. Let's don't wait to the end where you're mad at me and I preached an hour and a half. Let me tell you the faith this girl carries. Let me tell you the faith this girl carries. Years and years ago, I told God, let her do it. I'll preach while she's praying. I'm telling you, you will see a breakthrough in your finances. I said to God one day, Susie's not that spiritual. And he said, go back and ask her how her checkbook is. And she's over there. She goes, I'm praying. I need $5,000 by Friday to pay the bills. And we're over there, shunda, handa. We're praying over everything. All right. 4 years later, I said the same thing. She's not that spiritual. And God says, go check her, ask her a checkbook. And she looks at me and she goes, I need $96,000 by Friday, but I'll get it. There it is.
Now I know why I'm here.
I'm telling you.
I remember when I tithed $1.12.
There it is. There it is. I'm telling you guys.
And you guys blessed me when I had nothing.
I'm putting mine where I know where the power is at. I felt it already.
You didn't cast me out.
No.
People did.
I remember it.
Lord has done for me.
I remember it. Come on. Come on, guys. I'm serious. Listen. I'm telling you what will break first. What will break first is your mindset. What will break first is the mindset, and you will realize Daddy is a good Daddy. God is a good God, and he's going to give you the wisdom. He's going to give you the favor. He's going to give you the resources. He's going to give you the ability to manage, and you'll become a steward of what God's giving you. And when he can trust you with money, then he can trust you with power. Ooh, that's good. Come on. Come on. Come on, Susu.
Lord, I just thank you.
Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing.
Come on.
Lord, I just pray.
Breakthrough. Yeah. Come on.
And checkbooks, debit cards, whatever they are, Lord.
Lord.
Lord, that some of our stinking thinking that we have about our finances.
We break the lies.
Yeah.
Break the lies.
Lord, just from our background, Lord, of
All right, you don't need to preach my message.
We have done wrong with our finances. We have a Lord that let us just forgive them and to go on. Lord, that we have a new mindset of finances, of giving. Lord, that we want to be just overly abundant with our giving, Lord, and that it be overflowing, Lord. And then I want each and every one of these here, Lord, that these wallets and everything represent, Lord.
The households.
Day forward, Lord, that they, even to the smallest of ways, Lord, see the blessings, Lord, yes, of the change in their mindset, of Lord, just whatever which way, Lord. I know this comes a hard time of the year that people want to hang on to everything because they have their family to bless. Lord, I want
them
to see, Lord, that they can do it all. Lord, that can they can have a wonderful Thanksgiving. They can give to their family to celebrate Christmas, Lord. And they can also, Lord, just bless other people. And, Lord, and that they will see it come back and just in abundance and overflowing, Lord. That they're going to see that it's just going to, they're not even going to miss it, Lord. But it's just going to keep coming. And they're going to see the difference that it is to be a generous giver. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, now, let me add to this. Listen. Listen, Susie is the manager of our finances. I'm the hunter. I create. I don't manage well. So, Father, I release the anointing of kings that go out and bring us spoil. That favor will come in. Favor from on high will come in, and your children will carry the mark of prosperity, not the mark of debt, not the mark of defeat, but the mark of prosperity. Father, I speak increase. Let increase find them. Let the wisdom of Susie's and the ability to manage. Lord, let the submission one to another. Some of you can produce it, but you won't submit to the one that can manage it. That was better preaching. That was better preaching right there, buddy. Lord, we just thank you. And I just declare and decree mindset. The mindset is shifted right now in Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I think we got enough
to get started. Come on. Doggone it, here I left my wallet sitting over here. Susie, you better pray. No, she'll look in it. She'll take something out of it. Come on. Woo, baby. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, money's going to find you. Money's going to find you.
I give to that revelation.
Yeah, come on. Wow. You ever had God just tune you up? We just prayed about lies, right? I'm sitting there and the Lord says, you have a hidden $100 bill there. I want you to go give it to her. Right now? Yeah, right now. And I said, why? You give it to her and I'll tell you. He said, because you still have the fear of man and people think you're looking for money. And when you're willing to give it away, they know you're not trying to get it. So I believed a lie that I have to please you. And he also, what he just said to me, he says, you don't believe what you're giving is more valuable than what you have. Whew. Listen, here's my problem with preachers preaching on money. Because listen, I've sat in churches and seen, especially the black churches I go into, because if they don't have enough money, they take another offering. They do. Black churches would be like, we didn't get enough. Do it again. You know, that's their culture. I went to a church and the pastor like, everybody get their seed. Everybody get their seed. And the Lord told me, I don't want you to give. I'm like, why? Let me give at least $5 so I don't look embarrassed. And the Lord said, I said no. And so the associate said to me, he says, you were in rebellion to the pastor today. I said, well, thank God it was him and not God, because I was in rebellion to God. You know, I'd rather be in rebellion to him than God. But here's what I'm saying. The problem is when preachers preach on money, they start off with sowing and reaping. If you don't have the heart foundation of God is your source, then what you recognize is I'm not going to partner with mammon. When God is your source, you're not partnering with mammon. I'm not going to partner with mammon and get me into fear that I'm not going to have enough. I'm going to feel secure when I have money. I'm going to feel secure when I have money, then I've put my security in mammon. That security is in God and God alone, not in your checkbook, not in your money. When mammon takes over, you start to feel for money. Money begins to comfort you. When money comforts you, it has the ability to control you. When you feel secure with money as your source, you haven't, if you haven't repented of that and see that God is the one who loves you and you live the life from daddy's lap, then you're giving to get. That was good, wasn't it? I'm going to give as long as God's going to give me something in return. Try that with your wife. It's not giving, it's called manipulation. If I was giving my wife something to get something, that's not love. I'm sorry, Susie. I'm changing my ways and I'm not giving you any more gifts like that. Yeah. Susie went somewhere the other day and bought something. She goes, I bought it with my half of your money. Listen, the last couple of weeks, we have looked on how to get rid of that attitude. We also looked last week on what a steward is. A steward in the Bible is someone who manages somebody else's money. God is the owner, and I'm just a manager. I'm the FedEx man who delivers the packages that don't belong to me. If we act like it belongs to us, then we're not being a good steward. Listen, here's how the gospel is this. You give all, you sell all, you leave all. That's a call to the foundational level, because if we don't think like this, then we give to get. We begin to think if we've got, listen to this. We begin to think if we've got a need, we sow a seed, but it only meets a greed. I'm telling you, the church is going to sow a seed to meet your need. But I'm telling you what, most of the time, it only meets your greed.
Yeah.
I'm not against sowing seed, but I want to know who, I want to hear the voice of the sower. He says he gives seed to the sower. So if I've got seed and the Holy Ghost says, give it to her, ha, I'm under the unction of the Holy Ghost. That seed is anointed. It will come back to me. By the way, that came out of the pocket. That's called boomerang money. That's my boomerang money. That's money I don't have to ask Susie permission to give away. You should have boomerang money. Bought a vehicle this week, and I gave boomerang money to the guy who cleaned it up for me. I'm like, God, why am I doing that? Because you said you wanted to be generous last week. Oh, man, I did, didn't I? But that was my boomerang money. I want to give Susie's money. It's good to be generous with someone else's money if you can. But didn't we preach that last week about the evil, the unjust steward? Okay, anyway. We begin to think if we got a need, we sow a seed. But if you're not careful, we sow it to meet your greed. I mean, do you understand that this preaching goes against everything we're hearing on TV? It just in the face. I mean, this big African-American church in upstate New York, the pastor invites me to come, and the guy who connected me with Eric says, listen, he's got this big project going on, and he wants you to take the offering at this conference. And he wants you personally to give the greatest, to give the best offering you've ever given publicly. I don't do manipulation real well. And I'm like, God, I ain't doing it. He goes, oh, yes, you are. What is the best offering you've ever had? I was preaching every Tuesday in Teen Challenge in Sanford. Every Tuesday, I went to a 135 guys live in drug rehab, and they ain't got no money, and God told me to preach on money. I'm like, this is cool. So I go to preach on money, I was not in a prophetic flow at all. And all of a sudden, God highlights this one guy, and the Lord says, it's life and death. Give him a word. And I called him out and prophesied over him his future, prophesied over this. He starts weeping. His counselor starts weeping. He says, man, he comes up afterwards. He says, that's life changing. And he says, today I went to my counselor and I was quitting. I was leaving the program. And the counselor said, you know, the guy, he's a prophet. Why don't we ask God for a word? Don't leave till tomorrow. He says to the counselor, you never go to the prophet without an offering. I have nothing. And he gave him two quarters. He borrowed two quarters and gave me what God said, the best offering I had ever received. Not the most, the best. So I stood in front of people and gave two quarters. It isn't what they expected. I've never been invited back either. They can't afford me because I... But what am I saying? Listen, it's not about the money. It's about the heart. You know, when God says for you to tithe that much time with him, treat it like a tithe. Like your time has got a dollar amount to it. Put the dollar amount to it. Figure out what your tithe should be if you're not tithing. I mean, if you can do both, that's great. But do it with a purpose to have revelation of who God is. I'm telling you, it will have dividend return like you've never seen before. Now, if we're looking at financial breakthrough for finances, I have some old books on it. There's a story of a Jewish accountant. And he was asked a question, this old accountant. He said, I imagine you have both Christian and Jewish clients. The accountants laughed. He says, which one is more wealthy? The Jewish clients have more wealth, 10 to 1. over the Christians. He goes, why? He says, Christians live by the principles of the second half of the book, and they ignore the principles in the first half. He said, Christians think they can live however they want and ignore all the principles in Proverbs. You know, spending less than you have, not getting into debt, savings. They think you can ignore that and expect God's grace to cover your lack of stewardship. The Jews live according to the principles in the first half of the book, and God blesses it. 10 to 1. Some of you need to read Proverbs. The wisdom of managing wealth, the wisdom to managing money, that wisdom is in the book. And we need to quit looking for God's grace to cover your lack of your sloppy living. Oh, it wasn't that real nice. Now he done got personal with me. So if we're going after a supernatural breakthrough in finances, but we're not going to use it, we're going to use it to ignore a responsible lifestyle, then grace is just a cover-up. A good dad wants to meet all of his children's needs, some desires, and so they can give more than they have and be a blessing to others. My children, I hope he doesn't listen to this, but I don't care anyway. My oldest son was doing drugs. And he said this, he told me this. His friend said to him, Jason, how come you always have money? He said, I tithe. He's doing drugs. And he said, how come you always have money? He goes, oh, I tithe. He said, listen, it's a spiritual law. He says, you get speeding tickets, I don't. I have favor, you don't. I tithe. Some of you just went, eh. Listen, you need to sit down and figure out how much is enough money. Because the more you get, the more you spend. Typically, the more money you make, the more you go into debt because you can now afford to handle the debt. That was good. Dang, I'm convicted. Mark chapter 4:17. The genuine word of God that was planted in your heart is going to be tested. Do you understand when God speaks to you about giving money, about the principles of sowing and reaping, about these things, it's going to be tested. And you're going to have to figure out a resolve. Is God true to his word? Is God true to his word? Susie and I do not fit the normal pastor. We really don't. We just don't. We don't. But there's some basic truths. We have been faithful in our giving when we had little or nothing to give. I've seen her look around her house. Who can I give this jewelry to? I've seen her do it. She gave clothes away because she can't fit them anymore. But, you know, it's still a gift. But what I'm saying is she lives by the principle that I will always be taken care of. And she looks to sow under the anointing of God. And I think she just doesn't like clutter in her house. But there's a principle there. I've seen her take an upgrade in her jewelry and set it down and going, I'm going to know who to give this to. Yeah. Yeah. How many years did you keep that? She kept her original wedding ring for years, knowing God was going to tell her to give it. And she gave it to Billy. And then And then she didn't giving it. When God's in it, things happen. So then we told Michael to go to our jeweler and get a ring. And we said, you know, clean it. And then we told the jeweler, Vince, and I said, Vince, just tell me how much the band is because I wanted to buy that. The jeweler gives him his ring. He goes, oh, if the Coker's in here, I want some of that.
Woo, come on.
Okay, that's when you know God's in that. The jeweler said, oh, I got to have a piece of that. But that's when you know that you're not hung up and I got to sell everything because I got to have $20 and I got to do that. But you're going to be tested. And I'm telling you, if you don't spend your tithe time, how can we word this? We're going to make your tithe time. Is that word? Tithe time or time tithe? How are we going to do this? If you don't spend your time with God, you won't know how good God is and how much he blesses you. Some of you don't recognize that you're being blessed because you don't see it coming. If you're not looking for a blessing, well, you don't know when it shows up. If you haven't calculated that time with him and had him whisper in your heart, okay, son, here you go. I'm off. I'm just, these notes ain't going to work. They just ain't going to. You know, I got tickled last night. My youngest son goes to Tennessee and he helped me move and he loads up my very expensive deer rifle with a very nice scope on it. I know I gave it to him to use, but he wasn't supposed to move because I could always go use it. So he loads up my deer rifle and moves to Tennessee. And I'm like, if someone wanted me to go hunting, I don't have a deer rifle. Well, I said to Susie, I'm going to buy me. Anyway, we got. I didn't give to get. I gave to use. But then my user left, so now I had a need. All right, and I didn't need. I mean, the gun I gave him was a very nice gun, very expensive gun, and it was kind of my family heirloom, history, you know, all that. But I still need a deer rifle. And I'm gonna buy me one, trust me. And my brain is, I just need a deer rifle. So last night we're hanging out with the neighbors, and this guy made a deal with somebody and finds a 30-06 with a 3x9 Leopold, and he goes, I'm like, I need a deer rifle. He goes, $250. That's $800-$900 setup all day long. Anybody want to go hunting? But I laid in bed last night and realized the old Charlie. I'd have spent $1,800, $1,900 just because I wanted to have the best of what I had given. No, I just need a deer. I need a 30-06. I don't need a 7mm mag. I like 7mm mags, but that was Lord. I just need a rifle. If someone wants to go deer hunting, I want to have one. Okay, we got one now, and it was inexpensive. And I'm like, God, that was so good. And I didn't spend what I can afford. I didn't spend what I just got what I wanted. And to me, because I had prayed about it, I had wanted it, it tickled me that he gave it to me. And he could have sold it for way more money than he sold it to me. And we had just had a conversation with his wife, and she's like, I just can't get him to understand tithing. I'm like, I don't care as long as he sells me his stuff cheap. He don't know it. He's tithing. He don't know he's tithing. He's tithing. All right. Come and try me these notes. There's some good stuff in here. I know. Oh. Listen. When finances... It's just like lifting weights. If you can't lift 5 pounds, you're probably not going to lift 100 pounds. If you're not giving of your time, you're not giving of your finances where God tells you to, you're never going to do it if you win the lottery. Well, when I get money, I will. No, you won't. If you're not doing it now, it's not in your heart, because this is a heart thing. This is a heart condition. And the money will actually corrupt you if you wait to become generous. Listen. Jesus is calling money the least. If you can't handle this right, then don't expect to move on to greater things. If not trusting God in finances, then how can you trust him with other areas, with healing, with depression, with miracles? How, listen, this is a trust thing. So this is finances. If we can't stand on the bottom rung, we can prophesy about healing. We can prophesy about deliverance. We can prophesy about all this stuff. But let me tell you something. If you don't have that base rung right there, you're in trouble. Because if you don't trust him with your finances, you will absolutely turn your gift that can do these other things into your identity. And when all of a sudden your identity is I'm a prophet because I can prophesy versus I actually trust God with everything and I can prophesy. Right here, if you can't trust him in your finances, when you start functioning in your gift, it will become your identity and it won't be his gift. It'll become your identity and he will have to strip that tree one day. Does that make sense? Trust. Trust. I can remember when I first got saved and I gave everything I had and one of my employees came up and said, oh, you paid for my medicine 2 years ago and gave me money back. But I didn't remember I'd given her when I had it. And it tickled me. My morning devotion was like, God, that was so cool. That was so cool. There was years and years and years that I gave more than I should. God, this doesn't help the offering, God, unless it's not about the offering. There was a season of time where the pastor and the preacher would go, you can't outgive God. We got a conference coming up. Hey, can you sow into this conference? Yeah, here's $10,000. And I gave myself broke. I gave money out of my company. Basically, I was trying to buy a miracle because I was a poor steward. And my company was suffering, but we were giving big. We were 10 foot tall and bulletproof. We were giving, consistently giving, and then giving out of the company for the river conference and this, and the pastor's going, can't outgive God. And something just like, yeah, but where's the return on this? When you're giving at that level and you're not seeing a return, something's wrong. No, I'm not talking about my normal type. We've always, Susie and I, we take X amount of dollars out of our company. We consider that our income. We've always tied that. But we were given out of the company, and we were given way, we were buying miracles. Can't outgive God. And then I'm about to go bankrupt, and I'm mad. Now I'm mad at God. It doesn't work out that well. I'll never forget it. It was a Sunday. I went... By the way, Wendy, you quoted my scripture. Little prophetic thing. Every morning we come to church, she tells me what I'm preaching. I'm like, shut up. Now she's got the scriptures. She does. So I go to my office, I throw a Bible down on the floor, and I throw a phone book down on the floor. And I said, we gonna fight. One of these two books is going to give me an answer. I am wore out financially. I'm broke. I'm not going to continue in business in this pressure. One of these two books is going to talk to me. If you don't speak to me through the Bible, I'm looking up an attorney and I'm going bankrupt and I quit. I called God on the carpet. Some of you need to call God on the carpet. Does he call you on the carpet? So then you might want to call him on the carpet. If you don't have you lack understanding, it's like, all right, come beat me, but someone's going to talk. I'm going to find out what lie I'm believing. Because this ain't where this can't outgive God is a bunch of hanyaka. That's my favorite cuss word. I make it up. It's just whatever you want to make that thing out to be a hanyaka. And so I sat there. It was during church hours. I was sitting there. I'm like, God, talk to me. And he said, go to Psalms 107. That's the scripture she put on today's paper. When they came to their wits' end, he heard their cry and delivered them from their distress. I'm like, oh, I'm glad you heard my cry. Now what do I do? Hey, I'm glad you heard me. How are you going to deliver me? He said, pull that file out. So I pull the invoice file, and accordion file, A to Z, and every vendor that I owed money to, the invoices were in there. And he says, pull that one out. He says, you owe them money? So, yeah. Is it past due? Yeah. You stole their money. You stole money from your vendors, gave it to the priest, and you think I consider it holy. I consider it stolen. And I went, dear God, forgive me for stealing AAA. I can steal it. AAA Lighting out of Texas. I know their address. Forgive me for stealing their money, giving it to the priest, and thinking it was holy. It was stolen money because I'm a bad steward. I went A, B, C, and repented for stealing my vendor's money because I was a bad steward. I went to the pastor that week. I said, hey, them big checks you saw, you ain't getting no more. I said, you know what? You can't outgive God. I've been stealing money from my company, trying to get you to be happy, trying to get God to be happy, to pull a miracle off. And God told me I was a poor steward. You're not going to ever see any more money in my company until it's profitable. I'll continue to tithe personally, but you'll never see it. And it was 3.5 years before my company became profitable. Now, here's the pride thing. The pastors that used to be in this church, Mark and Phyllis Gregory, three and a half years later, my company gets healthier. Holy Spirit speaks to me. He says, hey, go by the store, grab a check for $50, take it to Mark and tell him to take his wife out to dinner. I was like, $50? You can't even have a decent dinner for $50. He goes, oh, let me explain something, Mr. Pride. That's the first $50 that was actually yours to give. You've been expecting an increase on stolen money, and then when I tell you to give a small amount, you get prideful. That was good preaching. Felt better this time than it did when I heard it. We don't have to jump through hoops for something that's already been paid at the cross. Faith simply responds to what has been done. It's just you probably won't be able to trust God for big things if you won't trust him for the little things, like finances. Many believers are trying to bypass little things and move on to the bigger things. When you haven't gotten the first rung of the ladder, quit trying to go to the other ones and think that you're living by faith. Whew. And I'm not stinging. I hope you don't think I'm stinging you. I'm not trying to sting you. Listen, Jesus said this to the rich young ruler. Jesus said, you can't follow me if you don't trust me with your finances. Give all, sell all, leave all. And where did he go? He walked away sad because he had everything. Listen, I'm telling you, God doesn't want your tithe. He wants all of it. See, you're fighting over 10 and he wants it all. And if you'll give it all, he'll trust you with it. He'll show you how to manage it all. You're fighting over the wrong percentage. He wants all. He demands all. And when he gets all of you, then he gives all of himself back to you. I've had a personal struggle this week within my own family. The struggle has been this, is I've wanted my father to end his journey on life as success in every arena that I could possibly see, because he's a man of God, he's all this. But generosity is not his strong suit. And I got upset with him because he had a position, he was in a position to where he could have blessed my son. And he chose not to. And it did everything. Oh my gosh. God exposed my manipulation. I tried to go around to where my son thought my dad gave it to him. So my dad looked good and my kid got blessed. I got called on the carpet. Listen, if you have manipulation in your giving, it's demonic. And so the Lord said to me, he said, son, you struggle with the same thing with your church people. You want them to finish in generosity and finish well to the point where you're not putting the demand on them to do it. I can't do this for you. I can tell you it's beneficial. We're walking it. We're living it. But you're going to have to do this. I just can't lay hands on your wallet and go supernaturally. No, I believe that we did today and there's a breakthrough. You're going to have to manage that breakthrough in your day-to-day walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as much as I want my father to, and I'll be honest with you, I actually talked to my therapist about it this week. And you know what? God, why am I so open? She came to the conclusion is I'm going to preach his funeral and I don't want to lie about him. They might hear a hell of a sermon when I preach his funeral. Because they may get the real truth. He loved God, he tithed, but he was a tightwad. He squeaked when he walked. I mean, what do you cannot manipulate people into truth. Truth has to change them. Truth has to be an embrace on your part. And when you embrace truth, Mr. Truth himself embraces you. Yes. No, I can't. I left my notes. Am I preaching to you today? The foundational truth of godly prosperity is relationship with the Holy Ghost. And nothing else. It's not about the amount of money you give. It's about the condition of the heart in which you give it. There was a season where Susie and I did not go to church, and we took our tithe money, and God told us to set it aside and take people to dinner. My religious brain go, well, I'm not going to be blessed. Can't eat your own seed. I was believing a lie. God told me specifically what to do with my tithe. God told me to give it to my sister for a season. God has told me to do things specifically. Why? It's his. And through this tithing of my time, I have enough relationship to hear his voice. Now, I'm hearing pretty good. I'm waiting for the lottery numbers. Jesus. And he'll give it to me a week late. Just to mess with me. But what I'm, what God is so, he's so entrenched in this. Because when you give of yourself. And listen, if you don't value your money, then you don't value your time. And when you give God your time, he'll give you money. Money's a byproduct of relationship. Money's a byproduct of your effort. And yes, you got to put an effort out. Lazy people aren't really going to be rich. I mean, I have that in about the 18th message. There's about 20 messages I'm working on right now. Never mind. I'll preach that some other time. But God is saying this is a heart condition. I've been challenged a lot lately. Because he's been speaking promotion to me. So he's getting down to the nitty-gritty of my DNA. I have money and I can give. You know what he told me last week? You'd rather give money than be nice. I said, well, let's get real. I don't really like that person. I know. I want you to take him to lunch. I don't like him. I want you to spend time with him. I don't like him. Why don't I give him $50 and tell him I love him? I mean, is that manipulation or what? That's demonic as hell is what it is if it's not checked. So how can God trust me with large amounts of money if he can't trust me with my time? See, it works both ways. I mean, Brad had a cigar night, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. Does Brad know that I live a half an hour from the church. He lives another half an hour from the church, and I'm tired. I don't want to go. Blah, 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 blah. And God goes, I want you to go. I don't want to go. It's bad when you're arguing with God and you want to go smoke cigars.
It took you 30 minutes to realize he wanted to stay, too.
And I got to tell you, if you heard the story and one of his friends that drove about the same distance from Kissimmee, dude, it was an incredible prophetic God night smoking cigars. It was off the chain. I'm telling you, that guy's life's never, he got rocked. But what's greater than that is I got rocked because I obeyed. I didn't want to go. I mean, like he had shrimp to give away. You know, certain things motivate me. I mean, I can smoke a cigar. I can smoke a cigar in my own backyard. But what I'm saying is when you start valuing your time with God, he'll trust you with his money. Is that good? Does this make sense? Now, so if God says, I want you to be prosperous as your soul prospers, I'm telling you, this is part of the prosperity message. Is your soul prospering in your time with God? Is your soul prospering hearing his voice? Do you realize that when I reach my hand out, this is not an empty hand. There's anointing in this hand. And there's times where God will say, go shake that person's hand. Go hug them. Why? Listen, because I've spent time with God. These are not empty hands.
That's right.
And sometimes they got money in them. I like those Pentecostal handshakes. Are you getting this? All right. I'm going to go all the way to the bottom. I'm not going to preach the rest of this. I'm going to go all the way to the bottom. In the New Testament, it contains 215 verses on faith, 218 verses on salvation, 2,084 dealing with stewardship and accountability of money and resources. 10 times on money versus salvation and faith. There are 38 parables told, 16 which deal with money. We'd be here all day. Two questions. Here's what I want you to do. Is there a lie that I am believing about my current situation? You need to spend some time with God. You might want to have your Bible and your checkbook open. Is there a lie I'm believing about my current situation? What is the truth? If you're not feeling glistening hope, you're believing a lie. What am I saying? I'm saying, Pastor Charlie's saying, listen, get out your checkbook, get out your Bible. Let them weigh each other out. And if you don't have hope of your future, you're believing a lie. You're not believing he's a good daddy who wants to bless you. You're not believing that he's a good father who wants to give you something to steward so he can give you more. What he's trying to do is to teach you to reign and rule with him. And if you can't rule your money or your money rules you, you can't rule his kingdom. Here's the harder question. Is there a lie I am believing about who you want me to be? Listen, I shared this morning in their prayer room to some people who've been around me. I don't know if you heard all those stories, but I got a bunch more. But what has happened is I'm sharing some things that I know God has told me 10, 15, 20 years ago. I got to a point I wouldn't share them for years because people thought would make statements that I was full of pride. Who do you think you are? You're going to stand on the stage of America and preach the truth about racism? You're going to stand on the stage of America? I can't tell you. It was encounters with God. But for years, I wouldn't even share them because of the criticism that I was a man of arrogance and pride. I'm going to tell you something. I'm sharing them again. But there's humility because the bottom line of, here's real true humility. When Moses can write into scripture, I'm the most humble man of all. If I said, listen, Charlie Coker's the most humble man of all, y'all like, you full of pride. How can you say that? Listen, true humility is believing you are who he says you are. Because you ain't nothing unless he did say it. And when the revelation is he said it, that he's going to do this, this, and this with you to impact a nation, impact a city, impact a people group, impact people. When God says, I want to use you to change people, that ain't prideful. It's humbling because you can't do it without him. I'm going to do what he said I'm going to do. And some of the people that can't get past who God called me to be, too bad. I'll see you on the other side. Then God will probably make me have to give you money. Give you gift cards. Right? I said to the guys in the national sales meeting, listen, as a preacher, I preach light and ask for an offering and you don't like it. I said, as a lighting salesman, you sell lights and you ask for a PO and you think you're holy. They ask for a purchase order, don't they? Listen, I'm up here preaching the light of Jesus Christ. I'm looking for a buy-in. The first and foremost demand I'm wanting you individually is to put a demand on your time. Figure out what your time is worth. Be a good steward of your time. I've had some people lately here in the last few months going, hey, man, can I spend time with you? Hey, man, can I spend time with you? Hey, man, can I spend time with you? I said, listen, you know, when I had time, you didn't do anything I told you to do. There were years I poured into people that didn't do anything I told them to do, and now they want my time, and now I'm going, hey, you know, can I give you my hourly rate now? When you look at what I'm making, do you really want my time? Because I'm going to send you a bill. Oh, that's arrogant. No, that's business. Now, people want me to be their pastor. Then listen. Do what you're told. Go read your Bible. Go figure it out. Because when people don't have a buy-in, they think it's just free. And I believe God is asking for a buy-in. First and foremost, with your time. Because you spend time with him, the other stuff fixes it. It's a byproduct of his grace. It's a byproduct of his love. Is he hunting?
No.
Oh, he's just skipping.
He says, my turn.
I'll get him. Stand to your feet. I think I'm done. Put your hand over your heart. Tonight at 6.
Tonight at 6.
Bo will be here. And I am serious. The man carries a strong prophetic apostolic gift. He does walk in miracles. He walks in healing. And he walks with God. Lord, I preached my heart today. I've preached my successes. I've preached my failures. But God, to the best of my ability, I've released the DNA of the kingdom to your people today. And God, as they make a mathematical calculation of their time, meet them at that point of exchange and reveal your love for them. Reveal your promises to them. Reveal the power of the Holy Spirit that breaks fear. Lord, your revelation of love breaks fear. And I break the fear of the future, fear of finances, fear of shoulda, woulda, coulda. If all the ifs and buts were candy and nuts, would have a Merry Christmas. I break that in Jesus' name. I don't know where this cup comes from. But God, I'm asking for supernatural encounters with your glory, the transforming power of who you are. The transforming power of what you've called us to do, to be, to look like, to be because of you, only you. God, let the visitation become a habitation over this house. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You can also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read the Bible, take notes, connect with us on social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into Identity Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Have a blessed day.